Well, hey, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor here at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in the series that we're calling Under the Hood, Saying No to the Quick Fix. And we're just addressing this idea of change and how difficult we find it to change even superficial things. You know, there's a reason the saying old habits die hard exists. It's because it's true. And when we try to change, oftentimes we're not even necessarily addressing, you know, profound change as much as we're attempting it. Sometimes just superficial change, and we find that difficult. And so often we're addressing fruits rather than what we might call roots. You know, what's at the source of the problem? And one of the things that we see in Scripture is that, you know, at the heart of our problem, our root problem is this thing called sin. It's our broken relationship with the Lord, our rebellion against Him, and our need for forgiveness, our need for reconciliation with the Lord. And so in 2 Corinthians 5, that's the chapter we've been studying, we've been looking at how God has done this. He has reconciled us through the life, death, sacrificial death, and then resurrection of Jesus. And so by grace through faith, we are forgiven and we become new, right? That's what we talked about this last Sunday, is 2 Corinthians 5:17, that the old has passed away, the new has come, right? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That person is a new creature in Christ. And Paul finishes off this section, you know, he talks about how we're ministers of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Jesus. Not only have we been reconciled, if we've trusted our lives to Jesus, our sin has been washed away, but then we have that privilege and responsibility of taking that message to others, of being ministers of reconciliation. And then he closes out the section in verse 21 with just a phenomenal statement, sort of summary statement of justification, right? Of what God has done for us through Christ. And he says that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God, that God made Christ, who knew no sin, the sinless Jesus, to be sin for us. That is, he took our sin upon himself at the cross. We sinned, but Jesus died, that we might become the righteousness of God. So we would call this the great exchange, right? That he took our sin and nailed it to the cross. He paid the debt that we deserved, so that when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. Our sin has been removed as far as the east is from the west. He sees us washed clean by Christ. But not only are we clean, we're not just like blank slates. He not only takes our sin, he gives us his righteousness, that we might become the righteousness of God, that when God sees us, he sees adopted sons and daughters, the perfect life of Christ placed on us, that we might become the righteousness of God, that Jesus became sin for us and took the curse of sin, paid our debt, and then gave us his righteousness. We are in Christ and therefore seen as righteous, not because of what we do, not because of our efforts, not something we achieve, but it's something we receive, that we've received the righteousness of God because we are in Christ. And that's just a stunning, I mean, that is the gospel. That's the amazing truth, life-changing truth of the gospel, the good news that God has made a way, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we come to the Father through him, and we're reconciled, redeemed, and made righteous. And I told our folks on Sunday, and I'll tell everyone who's listening now, I mean, if that doesn't stun you, like if there's not a sense of wonder in you and excitement and joy over what God has done for you in Christ, then I guess I would invite you again to consider, man, do you know Jesus? Have you experienced this? The love of God, having your sins washed clean, having the righteousness of God credited to your account by grace through faith, should do more in you and in me than just, you know, okay, that's cool, and now I'll go to church some more. It transforms us. It changes everything. And it should stun us and excite us and motivate us and humble us. And, you know, I said this on Sunday. I said, man, if like SportsCenter excites you more than Jesus, that is problematic. And I'm not picking on those of us who like sports. I love sports, right? But if anything consistently captures your attention and your affections and stirs your affections more than your relationship with Jesus and what he's done for you, then I think you need to consider, and we need to ask the question, Lord, do I really know you? Do I really understand, and have I embraced the gospel? And I think we have to guard ourselves. I think sometimes people hear that and they think, so wait, am I supposed to like just sit around and read the Bible all day? Like, is that what you mean, right? That I'm going to read the Bible 10 hours a day? And I think to some extent that's a bit of a caricature, right? Life pursuing Christ absolutely will be founded upon the Word of God and will include time in the Word with the Lord in prayer. But then God has also called us to do and to live, right? To reach others, to follow him, to work hard, to raise families, to enjoy the things that he's given us, the good gifts that he's given us as a way of enjoying him ultimately and praising him. So no, it's not, hey, you just sit around and read the Bible all the time. That's not what I mean when I say, do you enjoy Jesus more than you enjoy these other things? But if there have not been moments in your life, many moments where you sit back and you're sort of in wonder all over again, stunned once again at just the grace of God on your life, that he forgave your sin, past, present, and future, and that you are considered completely righteous, not because of your effort or achievement, but because of Jesus' perfect life in your place and his substitutionary death and then his resurrection, that you're a new creature in him, a new creation in him. If you're not there, I want to invite you. Even now, I'm going to pray for you here, and then I want to invite you to take some time to pray for yourself today, that just that you would ask God to do that in you. Lord, either renew my sense of wonder at who I am in Christ and what you've done for me, or maybe you've never experienced that, and you need to pray today, Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I want this to be more than just something I say, but something that I live, that I truly believe, and in my heart, that I feel it, experience it, and then live it out. And so I want to take a moment and pray for you, and then I encourage you to take some time to pray as well. Heavenly Father, I do pray for everyone listening right now, God, that we would truly understand and embrace the gospel and sit in awe of who you are and wonder, Father, just at the grace that you've shown us. Thank you for the way you've forgiven us. Thank you for the way that you've made us the righteousness of Christ, that we might become the righteousness of Christ because of what Jesus did for us. Thank you for grace, Lord. And may we walk daily in it and understand, Lord, that as we seek to change certain aspects of our lives and to grow, we first need to remind ourselves just of our identity and who we are in you. I pray those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, take some time now. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you'll take the time to join us again tomorrow. But take some time right now just to pray.